The second lesson, the epistle lesson, is recorded in the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Here the Apostle Paul encourages the Corinthian Christians to have unity on the basis of the pure gospel. This, by the way, is also the sermon text for this morning. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and excellence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Here ends the lesson. Grace, peace, and mercy be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I'd like to consider with you this morning is that epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which was read for you just a few moments ago. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has revealed himself as the Savior of all mankind and commissioned us to be his 21st century disciples, dear friends. You know what an oxymoron is? Webster defines it this way: a combination of contradictory or incongruous words, phrases that contradict each other. Here are some of my favorite oxymorons: boneless ribs, fresh frozen, jumbo shrimp, working vacation, devout atheist, and perhaps one of my favorites, alone together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we are confronted with an oxymoron. And the oxymoron in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is the phrase, a divided church. The reason why that is an oxymoron is because once a church becomes divided, it ceases to really be a church, because the word church means a gathering together of people. And when you are dividing that group, it is ceasing then to be a church. Those two words are a contradiction to one another. All a group like that becomes then is simply a group of people who have lost their way and have lost their mission as a Christian congregation. And instead of having unity and cohesiveness in that Christian congregation then, that congregation is filled with all sorts of division and fighting and backbiting. And when that happens, it destroys the mission of the church. It demoralizes Christians, it discourages them, and it deadens the effectiveness of that Christian congregation in the unbelieving world around it. And not only does it potentially destroy the church, it also destroys the effectiveness which that church is supposed to be having in this sin-sick world. And unfortunately, Christians are not immune to that problem of division and lack of unity in Christian congregations. There's an interesting story which is told about a man who was marooned out on an island. And he was marooned out there for some 20 years. And he had a lot of different building materials that he could make use of out there. And so he basically built himself a city while he was marooned alone out there on that island. And one day, after 20 years, finally a ship came by that island, and he was able to wave and jump up and down and get the attention of the people on that ship. They saw him, they pulled up close to shore, came ashore with a small dinghy. And when they came ashore and they looked around, they saw all these magnificent buildings and structures that that man over the past 20 years had built. And they asked him what all of those buildings were for, since he was the only man who was there on that island. And so he'd agreed that he was going to take them on a tour of his island and the projects that he had constructed there. And so they walked down the street that he had made, and he showed them his house, and he showed them his grocery store, and his community center where he went for entertainment. And as they walked down the street, he was proudest of all of the church that he had built there. And as they looked around, they saw another building that he had not described to them and mentioned, and so they asked him what that building was for. And he said, well, that was the church he used to attend before he got mad and changed churches. You see, Christians and the church are not immune to quarreling. As you know from reading last week's sermon, which I emailed out to you, somebody suggests I should have given a quiz on that sermon this morning, but suffice it to say this. As you know from that sermon, the Apostle Paul was addressing this congregation in Corinth, which was surrounded by darkness. I mean, Corinthian society was known for its immorality. Prostitution was rampant in that city, and the local religions of that city made use of temple prostitutes. As a matter of fact, the temple of Aphrodite, which was located there in the city of Corinth, employed over 1,000 temple prostitutes. And homosexuality ran rampant in that city. I mean, it was a godless place. And Corinthian society in the first century was really not a whole lot different from 21st American society and the society of the world which surrounds us today. As a matter of fact, in Corinthian society at the time of the Apostle Paul, about the only persecuted group were the Christians. And we're seeing similar things happening in our own societies today. To be sure, this was a tough place to plant a church, but the Apostle Paul did so through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you would think that that Corinthian congregation, living in the immoral society that it was, would have been focused with might and main on getting that gospel message out into the community. Because imagine the work which that congregation had in front of them. Here it was, this small band of Christians in this massive city of Corinth, a city which was filled with people who did not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It was filled with people who were walking the merry path to eternal destruction in hell. It was filled with people who needed to hear that message of the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life that only Jesus Christ could give them. And so it was an overwhelming task which was facing that Christian congregation there in Corinth. And you would think that that congregation would have really been concerned about that task which was in front of it, and would have been trying to bring that light of Jesus Christ into that world which was filled with so much spiritual darkness. But unfortunately, they weren't. What were they doing instead? Well, the Apostle Paul describes it. They were fighting amongst themselves. And so the Apostle Paul writes to that congregation in Corinth, and he says to them, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Paul is saying to them, folks, something's wrong with your Christian congregation. He wanted them all to agree with one another, but they weren't. He wanted no divisions in that Christian congregation, but there were divisions there. I want you to be perfectly united in mind and thought, the Apostle Paul says, but they were far from it. Something was wrong with the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth was split up into different cliques, different groups of people, different factions, and they were quarreling with one another. And it shouldn't surprise us, because this is a group of newborn Christians. These were people who were young and in many ways very immature in their faith, and they needed to grow in their faith. And that's what the Apostle Paul is encouraging them to do here with these words. Well, what were they fighting over? Well, we see that they had divided into factions because they were following different pastors. One group was saying, "I follow Pastor Apollos." Others were saying, "I follow Pastor Cephas." There were some who were saying, "I follow Pastor Paul." And then there was that group which were saying, "We don't follow any pastor at all. We follow Jesus Christ." And what they meant by that is that they didn't really need a pastor, because they were following Jesus directly and claiming perhaps that they had some spiritual direct line to Jesus, and he was teaching them what they needed to know. Why had those factions developed in that young, fledgling congregation? Well, it's probably because those people had gone pastor shopping. Each group had on its agenda exactly what they wanted as the message to be preached to them and taught to them. And they probably all had their own ideas as to how the church should be run. And they knew exactly what they wanted to believe. And so they went about looking for preachers which were going to cater to their particular interests and to preach the things that they wanted to hear and not the things that they didn't want to hear. And so it's not surprising that you had these cliques and factions which were forming there in that Christian congregation. Because, as you know, we as human beings, and all of us as pastors are human beings as well, sinful human beings, and we all have our distinct personalities. We all have our strong points and our weak points. And how do you get around that in a Christian congregation? How do you resolve that problem? You resolve the problem by not focusing so much on the man, but focusing instead on the man, Jesus Christ. Rather than asking what God's word taught, and if that's what they were being told in line with God's word, if what these various preachers were preaching to them was God's word, they were simply focused on getting someone who was going to preach what their itching ears wanted to hear. And as a result of that, they were losing their allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, and instead were devoting their allegiance to mere human beings. And that was causing needless divisions within that Christian congregation. Nothing new about that, folks. It still happens today. When you look at most of the divisions which are caused in Christian churches today, you will find out that, oh yes, there are some of them that are caused over doctrinal differences, no doubt about that. But an awful lot of arguments that we have within our Christian congregations today are not over doctrine, but rather over practice, over the way that we're going to conduct the ministry. And I think we could probably all spend the rest of the morning here sharing stories, horror stories that we have experienced ourselves in past congregations, of arguments and fights which have arisen over what color the church carpeting was going to be when it was replaced, or what color the walls were going to be painted, or any myriad of endless things, which really, when you look at it in contrast to the message of Jesus Christ, those things don't amount to a hill of beans. They're really not all that important at all. I had the experience, of course, in the past vacancy of going through that time when Panama City was rebuilding its congregation, and there were lots of these nitpicky little arguments that were going on within that congregation. Now we got this bare bone structure of the building. What's it going to look like when it's done? What color are we going to paint the walls? What color are the cabinets going to be? What color are the floors going to be, etc.? And sometimes tensions got a little hot in that congregation as they discussed those things. But what a joy it was to be with them a couple of weeks ago, for the rededication of that building and to see that they had come together once again as the body of Christ with a common purpose, the common purpose of reaching out with that gospel of Jesus Christ to the unbelieving world around them and working together as brothers and Christians to nurture one another and to spread that message throughout their community. But yes, we still see those divisions happening in the church today. And most often it happens because people stop following Christ. It happens when people become focused on getting their way and deciding that they only want to hear what they want to hear. And I've actually heard congregations which have chastised their pastors and said, "You only want to do things according to the book," referring to the Bible, as if there's something wrong with that. Let me tell you another story. There was a country church that had a pastor that everyone just loved, and they loved to hear him preach. Pastor Smith was his name. And everyone loved to come and hear Pastor Smith preach. And it didn't take long for Pastor Smith to begin gaining quite a reputation as a good preacher. People would come from miles away in order to listen to him on Sunday morning. And one day, Pastor Smith was going to be gone, and there was going to be a substitute preacher that day. And during the first hymn, when people were sitting there in the church and they saw that there was a substitute pastor up front, a lot of those people got up and began to leave during the singing of that first hymn because they recognized Pastor Smith was not there. And it was a rather sizable group which departed during that first hymn. And so the guest pastor got up at the end of that first hymn, and he began the service by saying, "All of you who have come here this morning to worship Pastor Smith may leave, and those of you who have come to worship Christ may stay." Sometimes things like that happen, even in our Christian congregations. We become so focused on the man who's communicating the message, and we lose sight of the most important man, Jesus Christ, the God-man. We need to look beyond the style of the speaker. We need to look instead to the message of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. Because that's what it's all about here in this Christian congregation, isn't it? It's all about Jesus Christ and promoting Christ in this unbelieving world around us. And when a group of people does that, when they focus their eyes on Jesus Christ and the mission which he has given to them, then they're able to work together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as pastor and people, in order to do the work which Christ has given them to do, and to do it without divisions, to be people who are perfectly united in mind and in thought. No, we're never going to reach perfection on this side of eternity. We're always going to have those little areas of disagreement now and then over personal preferences. But don't lose sight of the most important mission, the mission of following Christ and fulfilling his missionary command to get out into this unbelieving world and to preach that gospel to every creature. Each and every one of us is the same. We have been sanctified. We have been made holy by our Lord Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who suffered and died and rose again for us, so that we would have forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life with him in heaven. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who has given us life and salvation. And in the waters of holy baptism, he joined you together with those around you as brothers and sisters in Christ. Is Christ divided? Paul asks. And you know the answer to that. No. If Christ's church is divided, it is because people in the church have lost their focus on Jesus Christ. How do we stay focused on Christ? It's by being firmly grounded in God's word. How does a Christian congregation remain united when people of various backgrounds and different personalities are all brought together into one group? It's by being firmly grounded in Christ's word and being united in mind and in thought united around the Savior Jesus. And the Apostle Paul also tells us how divisions in the church can be healed. They are healed through repentance and forgiveness. We are here to speak the same thing. And when we sin, and when we do rub someone the wrong way, as will happen because we are sinful individuals, then we confess those sins, and we speak words of forgiveness to those who are around us. There was a pastor one day who was talking to a woman in his congregation about a division which was going on within that congregation. And this woman kind of became the center, the lightning post. I don't know what you want to call it. She was the center of that division. And people were saying some really nasty things about this woman, even though they were all Christians. And the pastor was concerned about whether or not that woman was going to be able to offer forgiveness to another member of the congregation who was just tearing her to shreds and saying some really nasty things about her. And he was afraid that if they weren't able to resolve their differences, it would further divide the church. And the woman looked her pastor in the eye and she said to him, "Pastor, how could I not forgive my sister in Christ? I can't call myself a Christian if I can't forgive her." You see, she understood that the rallying pole of the church is Jesus Christ. And Christ is not divided. And therefore, those who are part of his church cannot be divided either, if they want to be part of his body. What is it that brings unity to Trinity Lutheran Church today? You know the answer. It's Christ. You know what it is that unifies you as a Christian congregation here. It's not the building that we worship in. It's not our past history. It's not the fact that we have a lot of friends here. It's not the pastor. What holds us together is Jesus Christ. And may God bless us as we seek to glorify him in our lives as his children, as we live in unity and in peace with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.